Welcome to the Coder Catch Up Podcast. My name's Jamie Jones, and today we're going to be talking about Flexbox. So as I like to say, Flexbox, all the things, it's pretty amazing. So essentially, Flexbox is a bunch of CSS properties. It's part of the CSS3 spec, so this is some new stuff being added. It has been around for a little while, but it's becoming more and more widely used. For example, Foundation, which is a front-end CSS framework, they've split their framework out into two parts. There's Foundation for Sites, which is your generic normal grid using floats or inline blocks. And then there is their Foundation for Apps, which heavily uses Flexbox to do these more app-like layouts simply because of the problems that it solves in itself just with CSS, which before we had to use JavaScript to kind of hack things around. It just wasn't very nice. But it does more than that as well. So essentially, it gives you so much awesomeness out of the box just by doing a couple properties in CSS, and it's fairly easy to learn. The main things that people get from this is solving a lot of the grid-based problems that we have, as well as some other like sizing issues. So for example, if you want equal height columns, Flexbox can solve that ridiculously easy. The grid stuff as well, so essentially creating these really nice flexible grids with Flexbox essentially can eliminate a lot of your frameworks that you use, like Bootstrap or Foundation or Bourbon Neat, for example, because building those grids are really, really simple, whereas in the past with the grid systems we use, there's a lot of little things that crop up when you're building your own grid, and those frameworks solved it, and I think that's why we generally were using them quite a lot. And we still do, and I still do use Bootstrap and Neat. For example, on emailsetupbody.com, my email setup application, basically that uses Bootstrap, but it also uses Flexbox as well, so used in combination. So it's not like you have to exclusively use Flexbox. You can still use your other third-party frameworks as well. Now, as I was saying, it solves a lot of these problems. Now, there is a site on philipwalton.github.io/solved-by-flexbox, and there's dashes between those three words. And this is like a showcase of solved problems that we have with normal CSS, but how Flexbox is solving that. And they've got a great showcase here. They've got better, simpler grids. We've got the Holy Grail layout, you know, which is like the header, the two sidebars, and the content in the middle. Working with import add-ons, which you would have seen in things like Foundation and Bootstrap, so like having your button tied to a field or something prefixed to the field, like you might have like a dollar symbol. Media objects, so just handling different objects in there. Doing sticky footers, vertical centering, which is a huge one, like Flexbox, there's a couple things there. It's like you want to put your display flex on the container, and on your child element, you just want to do, I think it's align items. So I have to double check that. But it does all these awesome things, and the only downsides, I suppose, is the browser support. Now, basically, all your browsers support it, from like Safari 6 up, Firefox 27 up, and IE 10 up, Chrome will support it, and so Opera from, I think, version 12. So there are some drawbacks in terms of needing IE 10 or above, but there's ways around that, which I'll talk about later. Now, getting started, it can be a bit tricky because there's multiple syntaxes and stuff, but I'll follow that up a little bit later in the episode. But there's some guides here. Now, Chris Coy has got a great guide. It's called A Complete Guide to Flexbox, and that's on css-tricks.com/snippets/css/a-guide-2-flexbox. I'll have all these links in the show notes, so I probably won't see more links. And that runs through everything in terms of how the properties work, as well as showing some illustrations, and it's really, really good. I mean, you have to go through it. It's very feature filled. Like, there's nothing that's kind of left out there. It's a really, really good article. The next one is Flexbox Adventures by Chris Wright. So that's at chriswrightdesign.com under his experiments section, and that runs through all the strengths and weaknesses of Flexbox. But there's some awesome stuff in there. This one is another one that you have to check out. And the other one, which I'd say is optional, but it's a little bit more hands-on, is the flexboxn5.com website. And basically, it kind of gives you a tour of Flexbox, and you actually can play around as you go. And it also kind of like, try this out and see how that works or what you can do. Really, really, really handy. I cannot stress enough, like the whole idea is learning. You know, you can watch things, read things, but actually doing it. So learn by doing, it helps a lot. So this is a good way to step in there. The other option I would also say is just try it out in CodePen. So go to codepen.io. If you haven't got an account, sign up, it's free. And play around with Flexbox in there, because you don't need to open Reddit, you don't need to refresh pages, it's all there. The next thing I wanted to touch on was the support, which I talked about earlier. So people go, well, you know, it doesn't really work in older browsers. I need IE8 or IE9 support. Well, there are ways around it. Simply, one, using it as an enhancement. So progressively enhancing the page. So if you have some boxes that you need equal heights, put them at equal heights using Flexbox. Worst case scenario for people using these older browsers, they won't be equal. Now that may or may not make or break the site. So the main thing is that it doesn't actually break it, but as long as it's still usable. Now, this comes back to the problem like back in a while ago now, we were developing stuff thinking for IE6 users and we're so stuck behind because people are still on IE6. So you got to get out of that mindset and think about people who are actually using it and just worry about the other people who have got ancient browsers to just... they'll have to handle it, essentially. They are using an outdated browser. Now, in saying that, I don't want to sound like I'm just a crazy person here. If you use something like a modernizer, you can actually detect if Flexbox is supported. So you could use a class which gets appended to the HTML element, and I think it's like no-flexbox from memory. And you can then just add additional styles or change the styles up. Or if you want to go the opposite route, it will tell you if Flexbox is available with a class of Flexbox in the HTML element. So you could simply nest all your stuff using SAS-LS under the Flexbox class. So, and then you do all your Flexbox stuff there and just kind of use that as an override. I tend to personally think, well, I suppose it really comes down to project. So I'd check out the stats in the project. If, you know, 80% of the users are using the modern browsers, I would develop Flexbox first, and then do a fallback with no-flexbox class from Modernizer to support those older browsers. And there is a little tool, I can't remember where I got it from, but it allows you to toggle Flexbox on and off. It basically just changes the classes, making it easier for you to develop. So it gives you a no-flexbox and a Flexbox class, kind of exactly the same as what Modernizer does, just turns it on and off. The other thing was there were some older implementations of Flexbox, and it's really, really annoying. Like the, I don't know why they kind of decide they wanted to change and not update and stuff like that. But if you use something like Auto Prefixer, which I suggest everyone uses on every project, if you're not using Auto Prefixer on every project, you're doing yourself a massive disservice. So please use that. Essentially, it will go through and find out all the prefixes you need and whack them in there for you automatically. So Auto Prefixer will solve all those kind of issues for you. And it does make you just not have to worry. All you do is write the standard. So whatever the standard is, you write that. So for example, with Flexbox, if you want to do the display flex, you just write in your selector, display flex, and it will add the WebKit and the Mozilla versions, etc. for you. So you don't have to worry about writing it. So you're writing less code, and you're not worrying about the dependencies. For some people, that's a little bit scary. By default, I think it does the latest two browsers, so it'd give you up to IE10, for example. The main thing, though, with this is you can have a configuration file which you can specify what kind of browser support level you want. And I think it actually like taps into can I use to be able to do that. But that's essentially that. The other thing I wanted to cover, to give you a really, really good rundown, is Travis Nielsen, who's on Dev Tips Show. If you don't know who he is, check him out at travisnielsen.com and also his Twitter account, Dev Tips Show. He has a great, great video on YouTube. It's part of his Dev Tips channel. I think it is. He did do some stuff at PHP Academy as well. But he's got a great run through of CSS Flexbox Essentials. And it's really good. It's about half an hour for the video. And he just runs through absolutely everything you'd, or all the questions you'd probably have for Flexbox, at least for getting started. Now, if you want to learn about different layouts and things like that, it does get into that a little bit, but not to the extent of like building a site. It's kind of using a few elements and sizing up, positioning and stuff like that. But it's a great primer for Flexbox, which you can then go and take out and use for yourself. That's essentially all I've got to talk about in terms of Flexbox. What have your experiences been with it? I've been sprinkling it in on projects here and there, and you know, no one's complained about anything failing or not working horribly, because just keeping into consideration that it shouldn't break the design, so you don't want it to be like completely unusable. Just that general progressive enhancement kind of attitude to have. But yeah, I'd love to know your thoughts. Are you using it for projects? Are you using it exclusively? Are you sprinkling it in? Let me know in the comments on codercatchup.com or ping me at codercatchup on Twitter. Anyway, that's it. I'll catch you in the next episode.